All right, we're here in Exodus chapter 10 in our Bible, and let us start here at verse number 1. The Bible reads, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him, and that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's son what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me." And at this point, we are more than halfway through the plagues, and you had the water turned to blood, you had the frogs, you have the lice, the flies, the death of the livestock, you have number 6, the boils that took place. You have all of these things that are taking place in these plagues, and then Pharaoh is just being stubborn. He refuses to change. And he says, well, I'll let you go. And then he changes his mind. And then you get to the hail. And then now the warning is of the locust, plague number 8. Notice what it says in verse number 4. "Else if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow will I bring the locusts into thy coast. And they shall cover the face of the earth, that one cannot be able to see the earth. And they shall eat the residue of that which is escaped and which remaineth unto you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which groweth for you out of the field. And they shall fill thy houses and the houses of all thy servants and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither thy fathers nor thy fathers' fathers have seen since the day that they were upon the earth unto this day." And he turned himself and went out from Pharaoh. Now, when it comes to locusts, honestly, I don't really feel like I'm afraid of locusts, but that's because they're not inside of my house, right? You see locusts out in public and it's no big deal. Look, when I see an e-piece in public, it doesn't bother me either. But if I see one crawling inside of my house, it's like, wait a minute, I got to kill this one. And then there's got to be a lot more that are inside the house as well. And see, these locusts are everywhere. I mean, you open the fridge door and then all of a sudden these locusts come out. I mean, they are everywhere in dwelling the house. And the big problem is not just the fear that you would have of them, but they are going to destroy all of your financial means to be successful. Anything that remained from the hail and the death of the livestock, I mean, Egypt is financially being destroyed from all of these plagues, and it went from being the most wealthy and best place prosperously to live in the world to just immediately being like nothing in a short matter of time, which is the power of God. And then it says here in verse number 7, "And Pharaoh's servant said unto him, How long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed?" Now, his servant said, "How long shall this man be a snare unto us?" And a snare is basically like a trap. Think of like a mouse trap. And he's saying, hey, we are being destroyed by Moses. It's like, just let them go. And here's the thing. To understand how strong the statement is from his servants, you have to understand ancient Egypt. In ancient Egypt, they worshipped a multitude of gods. And each of the plagues is an attack on one of the false gods of Egypt. You start with the worship of the Nile River, and then right at the beginning, they attack the water supply. The last plague was the ultimate destruction of the biggest god, because the biggest god that was worshipped in ancient Egypt was Pharaoh. And so when Pharaoh's son dies, who's the firstborn, he's going to become the next god of Egypt, and the Pharaoh, and the ruler, and the leader, and he's going to be worshipped by everyone. Look, you're not going to be disrespectful to the God that you worship or to your boss or to your leader. And so when the servant said, hey, how long are you going to let them destroy us? I mean, that's a very strong statement. Basically, they've been quiet for a while, and it's at the point we can't take this anymore. And they said, knowest thou not yet? I love that statement, yet, because they're basically saying, when are you going to figure it out, Pharaoh? I figured it out at the frogs. He figured it out at the lice. He figured it out when all of his cows were killed. I mean, I just figured it out when the hail was coming down. When are you going to figure it out? We're destroyed. We're done. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? Name of the sermon is, knowest thou not yet that the Philippines is destroyed? And let me just say this right up front. Do not get this overly nationalistic view and be prideful and say, I'm a Filipino, how dare you say this? Look, preaching ought to be applicable to the people that you're preaching to. When I visit the U.S., I'm preaching for my friend in West Virginia, and the name of the sermon is, Knowest Thou Not Yet That West Virginia Is Destroyed? And I'm a West Virginian. It's my favorite state in the United States. But you know what? Preaching ought to be applicable. Don't get offended by the truth here today. This is not an attack on people that live in the Philippines or people that love God, because here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. This is not our home. This is not our nation. God has led us here to serve God, and we're just passing through, but our nation is up in heaven. And our brothers and sisters in this world are not native Filipinos, but those that love God around the world, those that are saved around the world. So don't get offended because you say, "Wow, how dare you say that? You're an American." I live in the Philippines just like you, and quit looking at skin color and eye color and hair color, because in God's eyes, there's no respect of persons. Remember what I preached a month ago about xenophobia? It doesn't matter where you live. It matters whether or not you're saved and you love God. Go in your Bible to Genesis 19. Genesis 19. I'm going to give you four clear ways that the Philippines is destroyed. It is a spiritual mess in 2023. And if you don't understand that yet, and you don't get it after the sermon, I would ask you, knowest thou not yet? Like, what information do you need to realize that this country is a mess and it's getting worse? And the first clear and obvious sign is the LGBT culture here in the Philippines. Bible says in Genesis 19, verse 1, "And there came two angels of Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And then Lot says, Hey, quickly come into the house, stay all night, and leave early in the morning before the homos wake up." That's what they're saying. They're still going to be drunk. They're going to still be having a hangover. They're not going to be awake yet. And then you can get out and leave while you're still safe. Now, they don't directly say that to the angels, but that's what Lot is thinking on the inside. He's like, quickly come in and leave early, because I know what will take place if you're out here and they see you. And they say, well, we're going to abide in the street all night. Now, look, obviously nobody's going to willingly sleep outside in the street. They're kind of messing with Lot a little bit. You know, they're saying this. And then it says in verse 3, "And he pressed upon them greatly." So Lot is saying, you got to get in the house now. "And they turned into onto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed their house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter." Let me ask you a question. Do you believe it is God's intention that you visit a place, and then right when you get there, you got a bunch of perverts wanting to molest you? Is that the way God created Sodom? Is that what God intended? I mean, it's like, Lot, knowest thou not yet that Sodom is destroyed? Why are you living here? Get out of there. I mean, you're not doing anything spiritually productive. Just leave. What are you doing? And it's like, knowest thou not yet? And it's like, it goes straight over Lot's head. It's like, he can't figure it out. And then it says here, and it says both old and young. You know, what's interesting is later on in the chapter, it says both small and great. Because young and old, it can be a matter of perspective. But when it comes to small and great, it's stating their stature, not their age. Now, here's the thing. When someone is a young teenager, they're almost their full height. I mean, they're like 85% of the way there. Right? When someone's 13 years old, it's like, my son is 5 years old. He's already halfway to my height. I mean, you grow pretty quickly. So when the Bible's saying young, you're not talking about people that are 20 years old. Small. We're talking about someone that's young. I believe people that are under the age of 10 that are already part of this LGBT culture. Now, that might seem crazy, but I preached this sermon yesterday, and one of our members told me that they were at the playground, and some kid that's like 8 or 9 years old kissed their son, and what they said is, "I'm LGBT, that's why I did it." I mean, it's like, man, that's the world we live in 2023. Knowest thou not yet that the Philippines is destroyed? This culture is invading young people because they're watching Vice Pungit on TV. They're getting brainwashed by the school systems, and it's becoming part of them. They think it's normal. And even people that are not reprobate are getting confused by this perverted culture. Right. They don't even know what's going on. Well, how do you know unless you try it? That is a sexually perverse society that we live in. Look, when I was a kid, you weren't even, I mean, even at that age, you're not dating when you're 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. And now they're trying to push kids into just trying these perverse things with people at a young age. Bible says in verse number 5, "And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them." Look, they're not asking to shake their hands. The Bible's being discreet. We know what it's referring to. And look, if your kids don't know, it's like, I'm not going to get graphic. You can talk to your kids more about it if you choose. We understand as adults what this is talking about in this chapter. "And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." This is one of those verses that I will just never understand. I cannot understand how a saved man can have this sort of reaction about his daughters. Just offer his daughters to these brute beasts. Offer his daughters to these dogs. And by the way, what this shows, and this is consistent in the Bible, that this LGBT culture, the correct letter is the letter B, because they go both ways. You say, well, you know, I'm just a lady. I can hang out with homos. Number one, why do you want to do that? Go shopping with other girls. Number two, you're not safe, right? According to what the Bible says. I mean, if you read Judges 19, you're aware of this. And he's offering his daughters, and it's like, what are you doing, Lot? I mean, are you insane? Verse number 9, "And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came into sojourn, and he will needs be a judge." Now, to sojourn means to live temporarily, and Lot's intention was just to live there for a little while, and then all of a sudden, I guess, just move back at some point, save up money or whatever, and then he ends up being there permanently. Now will we do, well, not permanently, because obviously he gets out in this chapter, but you know what I'm saying. "Now will we deal worse with thee than with them." I don't know what dealing worse with thee means, to be honest. I can't think of anything worse. To me, murder is actually not as bad. I mean, I'd rather just be dead, you know? I mean, but whatever their intentions are, it's pretty bad. I think that they're going to brutally kill Lot personally and probably a lot of other disgusting, perverted things. "And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great." So they physically blind these people, both small and great, young and old, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Weary means to tire yourself. So they get smote blind, and they're still trying to find the door to get after Lot. I mean, are they insane? But yeah, they actually are. They have no conscience. They're acting like an animal. Right. Isn't the Bible pretty accurate when it says brute beasts, and it calls them dogs? Look, if you have dogs as a pet, this is not a criticism. I had a dog as a pet as a kid, but dogs are filthy animals. Dogs will go after anything, right? And that's what they do when they're in heat. You know what? That is what homosexuals also do. They will go after anything. And we're seeing that in this story. Turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. That's the world that we're coming to in the Philippines in 2023. It's not a safe place for young kids. I wouldn't just let my kids run out there anywhere. I mean, who knows what's going to happen to them? Right. I mean, you go soul winning in parks. You know, I see cross-dressing men going jogging in Nepo Park when we go soul winning. That's not a safe place for my kids. Now, of course, we still have our kids soul winning, but it's like, well, either me or my wife keep a very, very, very close eye on our kids. They're right there. And it's like, you're not going more than a couple feet away. Not in the world that we live in. Now, I don't want to deprive them of going to the park and being able to go soul winning, so we take them out. But you got to be careful. And in 2023, you have to be careful when you raise your kids. Now, here's the thing. You would think this is a new thing in the Philippines. But did you know that before this country was colonized and run by Spain, this was the most pro-LGBT place on the planet? And a lot of people are not aware of this, but it is a fact. And do not be offended by the facts. Look, it doesn't matter what your ancestor did or believed 500 years ago, but I'm just going to give you the facts. In ancient culture here with the indigenous religions, there was the Babaylon, which were either women or homosexual men. The homosexuals were the spiritual leaders here in the Philippines before Catholicism came in. Now, this is not a compliment to Catholicism at all. The only real difference is they were openly homos and the priests are just quietly homos. But the Babaylon were women or male homosexuals. And before Spain came here, guess what men did? They married other men. Gay marriage was legal and common and done all the time in the Philippines. Fact check me on everything that I'm saying if you don't believe me. And there's a famous phrase in ancient Philippines, there's no spirituality without femininity. So either you're a woman leader or you're a guy that acts like a woman. And what these male homosexuals, the Babaylon, that were the spiritual leaders, because what they said is they can get in touch with the spirit world better than other people. I'm sure they can. I'm sure they can get in touch with devils better than I can. And the terms given to them were asog, A-S-O-G, which means a female animal that cannot give birth, or biok or biog, and that term derived into Visayan into biot. That term comes from the male homosexual spiritual leaders here in the Philippines. And even the language itself, there's a reason you have these gender-neutral pronouns. Siya, niya, you say why? Because they were more fluid in their understanding of gender. We can't just say, you know, him and her. That's offensive. We can't just say he and she. So we have a gender-neutral term. Why? Because they had a more fluid and more understanding version of gender than we do in 2023. And what you're going to see these liberal, hardcore LGBT, feminist culture here saying, we need to go back to our Filipino roots. Now look, this is not a credit or a compliment to Catholicism, but let me tell you something. That fixed a lot of the problems that exist 500 years ago. Men marrying men, homosexuals as the spiritual leaders. This country was a mess, and it is going back to what it was 1,000 years ago. Right. Look, these native religions that exist in the Philippines were wicked as hell. And how you can be worse than Catholicism, I don't know, but they managed to do that. That open homosexuals were the spiritual leaders here in the Philippines. Turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. As I said, if you're too nationalistic, this could be offensive. You say, Brother Stuckey, why aren't you preaching against the U.S.? I'm not in the U.S. right now. Wait a couple weeks. I'll preach against America. This is not our nation. Our nation is in heaven with our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world. But there are a lot of problems in the Philippines. In this LGBT culture, I used to wonder, and it makes sense now, why is there such a hardcore LGBT culture here? And it's actually because, you know what, countries really never go away from their roots. And I'll tell you what, the United States, when the Native Americans were the ones ruling it, same exact garbage went on. Basically the same thing. That's what happens with societies that don't have the Bible as the Word of God as their basis. They become reprobate, wicked, disgusting, perverted societies. That's what the Philippines was like 1,000 years ago. And you know what? We are going back to those roots. And you'll hear these pro-LGBT people saying, well, we need to get back to our Filipino roots. I mean, what a perverted and disgusting culture that existed. But, you know, we are going back to that point. Men marrying men, it's not going to take too long. It's going to happen pretty soon. Male homosexual leaders, it's like, I mean, look, even in the Baptist realm, they've got transgenders as leaders. It's like, I feel like I'm living in a dream world. Take Baptist off your name. Call yourself whatever.
Call yourself, we're the most loving church in the world. Say whatever. Don't call yourself a Baptist. But this country is going back to its roots from 1,000 years ago, with homosexuals being the leaders and just being accepting of everybody. In 2020, a Pew Research Center poll showed that 73% of adult Filipinos agreed that homosexuality should be accepted by society. And so 73% say there's nothing wrong with the homos. And of course, that's an increase from 64% in 2002. So 64 to 73, give it another 10 years, we're at 80-something, right? Probably. And it says support was higher among 18 to 29-year-olds at 80%. Yeah, the younger generation, they embrace it. 80% of those under the age of 30 embrace the LGBT. 80%. Catholics at 80%. And I love this statement because it's a secular article. And the more educated at 79%. So what you're saying is that naturally people think it's weird and perverse, but when you get brainwashed by society, now you accept it? That's what you're saying. The more educated, I mean, a higher percentage of people that graduated college believe the LGBT should be accepted. Yeah, because they're brainwashed by the world. They're brainwashed by the influences and the culture and the TV and the music and all of these things that think it's normal. 79% of the more educated. Look, we're coming to a country that is going to be over 80% embracing the LGBT. It is a rapid descent to wickedness. One thing that shows us the Philippines is destroyed is the LGBT culture. Another thing that shows us the Philippines is destroyed is the rise in illegitimate children here in the Philippines. This is from a secular article, and I'll show you the Bible here in a second, but from a secular article that is not a Bible-believing Christian writing this, as far as I know, it's just a normal article from someone in the Philippines. If ever there is a crisis the Philippines must urgently confront, utterly paramount is the deteriorating state of our families and children. Now, that is a very true statement. They're very correct on that. And honestly, these statistics are more shocking to me than the LGBT statistics. From the Philippine Statistics Authority data, we see that in 2010, 755,074 illegitimate babies were born. That's 42.8% of all births, okay? Illegitimate means born out of wedlock to unmarried mothers. Then it says 1 year later in 2011, it says that number grew by 1.8%, so we're at 44.6%, making it nearly half of the babies born that year being illegitimate, 44.6%, or 778,680. By the end of Noynoy Aquino's presidency, that number had risen to 49.2%, so 42.8, 44.6, 49.2, which is 851,088 babies. In 2018, more than half, 54.3% of Philippine births were to unwed mothers. In 2010, 42.8%. 8 years later, 54.3%. It's not the percentage to me. It's the increase. It increased 12% in 8 years. And then now, according to 2020, the most recent statistics I saw, 57%. It rose 15% in just 10 years. I mean, look, from a logical perspective, it won't rise another 15% in 10 years, but it's probably going to rise another 8%, another 10%. I mean, the rate of increase is insane. You're seeing the LGBT culture skyrocket, no doubt. You're seeing kids born out of wedlock skyrocket, no doubt. You know something else that's skyrocketing here in the Philippines? A rise in Christianity, so-called. Is that not true? Catholicism dying out. But it's interesting, when I go soul winning, how often people say, born again. Right? I'll ask them, you know, sanong klase ng simbahan ka pumupunta, born again. All the time. It's not a culture, it's not a country that's over 80% Catholic anymore. It's not. I mean, there's a huge rise in people that are not Catholic. Supposedly, Christianity's rising. Pentecostal's rising. Non-denom is rising. So why is it that if they're correct, that this world is not godlier? It's getting worse and worse and worse, and it's like this all over the world. This world is becoming Pentecostal, whether you realize it or not. In my lifetime, Pentecostal will pass Catholicism as the biggest form of Christianity. It is rapidly increasing. Is it resulting in godliness? It's resulting in an LGBT culture, kids being born out of wedlock. And you know what happens? People that are any form of Christianity, they like to everybody likes to praise where they're from. We are the Christian country in Asia. Isn't that what people say? Isn't that what people think about the Philippines? I'm sorry, I don't see that. We might have a higher percentage of saved people here in the Philippines. That is probably true. But I would not label this as a Christian country. You say, why? That's an embarrassment to God when you say this country is Christian. Right. Don't sit here and tell me that this country is using the Bible and following the Word of God. It is not. It is a rise in the pro-LGBT culture, a rise in kids out of wedlock. Sin is rising all over this country at a very rapid rate, while supposedly there's a rapid rise in Christianity. What are they preaching at these churches? Because it's obviously not getting rid of the problems. Right. And it says from this article, and this is also very shocking here, put that within the context that teenage pregnancy in this country rose by 70% in the 10-year period from 1999 to 2009. The 2010 figures show there were 206,574 teen pregnancies. So in 2010, 206,574 teen pregnancies, with more than half involving girls below 14 years of age. Over 100,000 women under the age of 14 gave birth in 2010. I mean, over half under the age of 14? Yeah, there's a problem with the family units. I mean, people are just letting their daughters do whatever they want. It's like, are you kidding me? I mean, over 100,000, over half of them under the age of 14. This is becoming a sexually perverse country, whether you want to admit it or not. This is disgusting. It's perverted. Over 50% under the age of 14 years old. And these are very good statistics because it gives you down to the number, 206,574. I'm not giving you random statistics. It's like it gives you down to the exact number, and it might not be 100% accurate, but I think it's probably pretty close. And it said also that the 2013 data shows the Philippines had the third highest number of teen pregnancies in Southeast Asia, and it was the only country where the percentage and number was actually rising. The Philippines. With the rise in Christianity, we're the only country with this. I mean, isn't it an embarrassment when you can say that in some ways Japan and China are godlier than here? And that's a fact. This is not me giving credit or saying anything nice about those countries, but it's like there are areas here in the Philippines, we are far worse than any country in Asia. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 15, "Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he was joined to an harlot as one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." You say, Brother Stuckey, but it's my body. I can do whatever I want. Is it your body? What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? It's not yours. It belongs to God. You can't just do whatever you want in your body. You have rules you must follow. This doesn't belong to you. My body does not belong to me. And your flesh might want something, but your body belongs to God, and you're obligated to follow what God says. Not just, well, I can do whatever I want. And the same people try to use this logic when it comes to abortion. Well, my body, my choice. I can do whatever I want. Number one, that's not your body that you're killing. And number two, this isn't your body either. Your body belongs to God. And the Bible says, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Now, here's the thing. We expect the unsaved world to get brainwashed and to do what everybody else does. Bible-believing Christians ought to be different. Me preaching this is not me attacking anybody for past sins, but we've got a lot of young children in this church. I've got 3 young kids, and I want to make sure the kids from this church rise up and are godly. They get saved at a young age, they love God, and they are peculiar compared to the world. This church should not be just like the world. It ought to be different. Right. And yet, in most so-called Christian churches, they're just like the world. I know plenty of Baptist churches where they have open homosexuals that are leading the praise and worship team. Well, they're fighting against it. We all have our sins that we struggle with. I mean, that is the culture, and that's what's being preached in churches in the Philippines, just accepting everybody. Well, we're just too loving to condemn anyone. So you're more loving than God? Is that what you're saying? You're more loving than Paul the Apostle? Because this church has problems, and Paul says, I'm going to clean it up. I'm going to fix the problems. Now look, I don't know of these problems existing at this church. But I want the young people to hear this because I want them to grow up and say, I'm not going to make the same mistakes that other people did. I get it. We grow up in this culture. You get affected by those that you're around. Past mistakes are past mistakes. But you know what? We want this young generation to make better choices than we did. Look, I want my kids to make better choices than I did growing up. I want them to love God and never go down a road of listening to rock music like I did. I want them to have a different background growing up, and the result is going to be they're going to be godly. They're going to love God. Amen. But it's not going to happen if they act just like the world and watch the same movies and listen to the same music and are just like everybody else. Go to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. You say, Brother Saki, this sermon's offensive. It's not offensive if you look at your home as being heaven. Right. And that's the way I look at my home being. It's not offensive as a Bible-believing Christian. I'm not ripping people in this church because of the LGBT culture in this country. But this is reality. Right. I'm giving you real statistics. And I'll be honest with you. One thing that's harder about preaching sermons here, it's harder to find statistics than in the U.S. The U.S. has statistics for everything. It's very easy. 5 minutes before the sermon, let me just find stats, and then here we go. This, you got to take some time. But these are real statistics. These are facts. And here's the thing. Even if you don't think these are 100% accurate, unless you're blind, you realize this is what the culture is becoming here in the Philippines. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 8. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. What does it mean to fall? Well, what he's saying is you die. 23,000 people died in one day due to the sin of fornication. I mean, in God's eyes, that's a big sin. 23,000 dead in one day. I mean, you young people that are not even at the point of desiring these things, and you're nowhere near the point of marriage, this is how God feels about fornication. You ought to go down to your wedding pure, having never been with anybody else, and you're waiting for that right person to marry. 23,000 killed in one day. Now, I'm not saying that you're going to be killed by God if you do that, but, I mean, it's possible. Right. You say, Brother Stuckey, are you trying to scare the young people? Yeah, I'm trying to scare them so they don't make mistakes. And they realize, I'm not even going to go close to this line. I'm not even going to start to tempt myself or put myself in a position because I don't want to ever risk making that mistake. And you know what? What's interesting, go to 1 Corinthians 5. But what's interesting is that from 1 Corinthians 6, the Bible's telling you that sexual sin is something that kind of sticks with you. It's different than other sins. You sin against your own body, the Bible says. And look, if you fornicate before you're married and then you marry someone else, you're going to have baggage that's going to go into that marriage that is going to last with you. It's a fact. And this is not a criticism of people for past mistakes, but I want the young generation to know the truth so they make wise choices as they grow up. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much named as among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. And the Bible says it's commonly reported. Everybody's aware of the fornication in the church of Corinth. Everybody's aware of the sexual perversion, and they allow it. They don't criticize it. They don't condemn it. They allow it. And Paul's saying, what is wrong with you? He's like, I'm being absent, have judged already and said, get them out of the church. And yet in this country, in Christian churches, you have open people living in fornication and adultery and sexual sin and homosexuality, and nothing's ever said about it. And it's just accepted. Why would pastors do that when the Bible's really clear? Well, because of the fact, money. You get donations. And the thing is, if you have less members, you have less money. And so people are afraid to say the truth. That's reality. Why are churches not preaching against this? Because they want to bring in more members. Look, this is the strategy where basically, let us be kind of like the world, that way we can bring them in. This is why you have Christian rock music at churches. It's not even good music. I mean, seriously, if you want rock music that is appealing to the flesh, put on like AC/DC or Aerosmith or some common famous rock music. It's like, I remember, and I don't know much about CCM, Christian Contemporary Music, but I remember when I first got saved and the song everybody was listening to was by the Newsboys, where they don't serve breakfast in hell. I was like, what a corny phrase. Captain Crunch is saying amen? It's like, are you kidding me? I mean, what horrible, I mean, usually musicians have pretty bad words, but those are awful words. And it's like, it's not, but they're doing that to try to appeal to the world. And it works. It does. They reach their goal. This church will never be a mega church. It won't. We are not going to appeal to everybody. Now, you can certainly look and say, obviously this preaching appeals to a lot of people, though. There are people that love God. And here's what I'm going to say about this sermon. When the Bible says, knowest thou not yet, the idea is that some people have figured it out. And there are a lot of people, some that are even unsaved, that they look what's going on in the world, and they're like, I don't know what's wrong, but something's wrong. I don't think God intended the world to be like this. Some people are figuring it out. As the world gets worse, some people are waking up saying, man, look, I'll tell you, I know a lot of people that thought I was way too extreme on the LGBT 10 years ago, but they don't really think that now. Now, as the United States has gotten worse and worse, it's kind of like, okay, never mind, we're on your side. And that's great. Because some people takes the third plague or the fourth or the fifth, but eventually you got to look and Pharaoh, Egypt's destroyed. And Mr. Generic Christian in 2023 in the Philippines, this is not the way God intended this country to be. Right. The Philippines is destroyed. The Philippines is a spiritual mess. And it said, it is reported commonly that there's fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. See, the church of Corinth was too loving to ever kick anybody out. And that's why they became the mess that they were. Now turn to Isaiah 7. Isaiah 7. Isaiah 7. Now, when a child is born out of wedlock, what is the honorable thing to do as the mom and the dad? Get married, right? Because they need a mom and a dad in the home. Get married. I believe every child, what is best for them is to have a mom and a dad in the home. Obviously, this is not always the way it works out, but that is the best thing. That's the most honorable thing to do. But here's the thing. That's not normally what happens in the Philippines. Over half the time, when an unintended pregnancy comes up, that baby is aborted. Over half the time, they don't get married. They just murder the baby. It says here from this article, point number three is abortion. Point one, LGBT. Point two, illegitimate children. Point three, abortion. Of the hundreds of thousands of Filipino women who have unintended pregnancies each year, and by the way, this is a pro-liberal, garbage, wicked article, but it's a generic article that fits the sermon. But you can tell they don't agree with what I'm going to say. It says, of the hundreds of thousands of Filipino women who have unintended pregnancies each year, many face a difficult choice. Either give birth to a child they are not prepared or able to take care for, or obtain a clandestine and often unsafe abortion. And this is what people always do when you talk about abortion. But, I mean, if we don't offer safe abortions for people, then, you know what, that mom's going to do something dangerous and she might get harmed. Now, look, I want you to understand this. If a person gets drunk and they go out driving, I do not wish that they crash and die. But if they crash and die, they got what they deserved.
Right.
If a woman gets an unsafe abortion, I don't want her to die, personally. But if it happens, or she has permanent problems, she got what she deserved. And here's the thing. I'm pretty sure every woman that gets an abortion, it's dangerous. Because that's not the way God intended it. God doesn't intend you to kill the baby inside of you. Of course it's going to cause health problems. And look, in America they say, well, before abortion was legal, there would be women in the back alley with a coat hanger. Now, I don't know how a coat hanger kills a baby. But apparently that was a technique they used. Somehow I really don't understand that. But I've heard things like pouring hot water on the belly, someone punching or kicking the belly to try to kill. I mean, these are the sorts of things that people have tried. Yeah, you know what? That's pretty harmful. When someone punches you until the baby dies inside of you, yeah, it's going to be pretty harmful to the mom too. It's like you make your choice when you get pregnant. And if you get pregnant, do the honorable thing and get married. Because it doesn't change anything. Abortion is murder regardless of the situation. But she's not ready and prepared to care for the child. Well, then maybe God is trying to get them to grow up. Because that doesn't change the fact that killing that baby inside of you is murder. And it says, because abortion is highly stigmatized and punishable by law, it is extremely challenging to directly estimate the number of abortions in the Philippines, as both women and providers are likely to not report the procedure. Now, it says in the Philippines in 2015 to 2019, there are a total of 3.77 million pregnancies every year. Of these, 1.93 million were unintended. And 973,000 ended in abortion. So double that is 1.946. So that's over 50%, 51%, based on the statistics, of unintended pregnancies, the baby was aborted. What's interesting is not just that it's over half, which is bad enough, but the rise in the percentage. Because unintended pregnancies from 1990 to 1994, 23% abortions. 95 to 99, 25% aborted. 2000 to 2004, 27% aborted. 2005 to 2009, 35% aborted. 2010 to 2014, 48% aborted. 2015 to 2019, the most recent statistics I have, 51% aborted. It has more than doubled in 25 years. It's more than doubled. I don't know what the statistics are going to be in another 10 or 15 years on these things. But I'm expecting 90% accept the LGBT. 75% of children are born out of wedlock. 75% of those babies are aborted of unintended pregnancies. I don't know what but it's rising and rising and rising. Now let me just be very clear from a biblical standpoint. What does God think about abortion? Isaiah 7 verse 14. Isaiah 7 verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. The Bible says a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. This is, you know, the word we know, conception. She'll conceive, conception. Now, of course, the big argument, when does life begin? At conception, at implantation, somewhere down the line, or when the baby comes out of the womb. So the question is, what does the Bible teach? Because what I'm saying is abortion is murder. Let me just prove to you from the Word of God. Go to Matthew 1. Remember, a virgin shall conceive. A virgin shall conceive. Matthew 1, verse 23. Matthew 1, verse 23. Matthew 1, verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. See, in Isaiah 7, a virgin shall conceive. In Matthew 1, verse 23, a virgin shall be with child. What is the Bible saying? Life begins at conception. Not at implantation a couple weeks later. Now, here's where that's important, because most Christians would say they're against killing a baby inside the belly. But what Christians accept in 2023 is forms of birth control that are murdering innocent children. Because And look, I know there's a lot of birth control pills out there. I do not claim to be an expert. But when you have things like the day after pill, they want to destroy the pregnancy. And what they'll say is, well, we prevent it from taking place. And then they'll give two options of how this takes place. One is, we make it so a woman is not fertile. Like, she will not ovulate. She won't even get pregnant. And that usually will work. But there's a backup mechanism. And what it's called is, it prevents implantation. Now, implantation occurs a few weeks after conception. But here's the thing. We don't believe that life begins at implantation 2 weeks later. The Bible shows us life begins at conception. When you're taking those birth control pills, you are murdering innocent children. And they're known as silent abortions because you're not aware of it taking place. Look, these are facts. If you don't believe me, educate yourself. I mean, study. Learn this stuff. These are facts. And it is hypocritical for a Christian to say, well, I would never get an abortion, but I'll take birth control pills that will prevent implantation. You're being hypocritical and you're murdering innocent children inside of your womb. Turn to Malachi 3. Malachi 3. Over half of unintended pregnancies end in abortion. So over half of pregnancies are unintended in the Philippines, and over half of those end in abortion. Now look, if it was 50% and 50%, that would be 25% end in abortion. Over 50% on both sides, you know what that means? Over 1 out of 4 children are aborted in this country. Over 25%. These are facts. Look this stuff up. And what I would say is, instead of getting mad, it's like, knowest thou not yet that the Philippines is destroyed? Instead of getting stubborn and saying, how dare you criticize my country? It's like, knowest thou not yet? Look, I'm not a guest preacher. I live here too. But these are facts. You say, why preach this? Because I'm hoping there will be a change, at least from the people in this room. But if other churches would rise up and preach the truth, I would love to see these statistics start to go the other way. You say, Brother Sagi, is it possible? I do think it's possible, but it's only going to come if churches preach the truth. And unfortunately, I'm just not seeing that in 2023. Churches are afraid to preach the truth. They're afraid to offend. And I'm sorry, but the Bible says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. I'm preaching against the things that are sins here, but these are real issues in the Philippines. That in many ways, we are worse than other countries in Asia and all these things that we looked at. Number one, the LGBT culture. Number two, the illegitimate children. Number three, abortion. Lastly, financially. This country is not financially being blessed by God. If anything, over the last 50 years with the rise in Christianity, it has resulted in the exact opposite financially in this country. Because other countries in Asia have boomed. It's like you got Singapore versus the Philippines. One went this way and one went that way, right? And we're not the ones that went up in terms of being financially prosperous. Because the Bible teaches that a country can be cursed by God and not have God's blessing. Egypt was under a financial curse, and I believe this country is cursed by God because of the wickedness in this country. The Bible says in Malachi 3, verse 8, will a man rob God? Yeah, ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me. Notice this, even this whole nation, Malachi 3, 9. The whole nation was under the curse of God. And then go to verse number 12. And it says, and all nations shall call you blessed. This is if they obeyed and did what God said. For ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, that's not what people would say about the Philippines in 2023. You know what people would say here in the Philippines in 2023? Why is this country so magulo? Right? I mean, when you have to process stuff with the government, I'm just being honest. It's a mess. This is what people say. They go to other places, it's organized and makes sense, and it's like, why can't they figure this out? Maybe they're just under the curse of God as a nation. I mean, it's a fact. This is, you say, oh, you know, how dare you say that about the Philippines? Quit having this nationalistic perspective. This is a fact. This is what people say that visit here. That's the way that they feel. It's like, it's just not organized. This country's not being blessed financially. Now, why is it this country is not being blessed? Well, we talked about the LGBT culture. We talked about the illegitimate children. We talked about abortion. And those are three major sins. And notice what it says in verse 13. Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it if we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And notice this in verse 15. And now we call the proud happy. And isn't that what we do in 2023 in the Philippines? You know what the word gay means? Because young people might not know. Happy. Gay pride. We call the proud happy. They're a bunch of arrogant people, and we call them happy. Look, the word gay was a compliment a long time ago. Don't call the homosexuals gay. You say, well, what should we call them? Well, let's give some biblical terms. Strange flesh, the synonym would be queer. How about dogs for men, pigs for women? Brute beasts, those are all good terms. Sodomites, those are all good terms. But we call the proud happy in 2023. You know, when I was a kid growing up in the U.S., the most popular game that everybody played on the playground was called Smear the Queer. Smear the Queer. And the point of the game was you'd have like 20 guys and you'd have one ball. And then if somebody got the ball, everyone would try to smash them. It's like, yeah, we're smashing the queer. Somebody else got the ball. You ran after them. You try to smash them. I mean, it was a fun game. You say, Brother Sucky, didn't that insult all the homos, though? There were no homos. But you wouldn't play that game in 2023. I mean, how dare you say that? It's a fact that was the most common and popular game in the U.S. for kids. Because it's not like ancient Philippines when calling someone, you know, like, you know, biote is going to be a compliment. Or, I mean, Osog is what they call them, the male spiritual leaders. Female animals that can't produce. But that was a compliment. Or binabae was a compliment back in those days. No, I mean, being a homo was the biggest insult you could give when I was a kid. If someone called you a homo, or someone calls you soft, I mean, look, when I played soccer, I was a very patient person. I did not lose my temper much. But if somebody says, you know, you're soft, you're a girly man, you're a homo, it's like, you just wait till after the game, we're going to fight it out, right? It was an insult. But now it's like, kids walk around, it's just funny to pretend to be gay. How is that funny? Explain to me how Vice Pongy is funny. I don't watch Vice Pongy, but I know he's on the news all the time for being sexually perverse. Why are jokes about being a sexual pervert funny to you? I mean, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. It is a shame to speak of those things that are done in secret. And yet, Baptists in 2023, they think Vice Pongy's the funniest person in the world. I don't get it. And look, I don't watch Vice Pongy, but you know, I visited a lot of my wife's relatives, and unfortunately, sometimes he's on the TV in the background. I don't understand what's funny about it. It's not funny. And we call the proud happy. And then it says this, yea, they that work wickedness are set up. And isn't it true that wicked people are in positions of authority? Not just the LGBT culture, but that's a large part of it. They're in positions of authority. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. I mean, they're tempting God to destroy this world. And they mock him with the rainbow. They're tempting God. It's like, well, you know, God said he's never going to destroy the world. He said he's never going to destroy it with a flood, you idiot. And a rainbow has seven colors, not six. You say, well, Brother Stucky, what's the answer? Because look, you should have known this before the sermon. And if you don't, knowest thou not yet that the Philippines is destroyed? The LGBT culture, the rise in illegitimate children, the rise in abortions, and you know what? Nobody cares about any of that. But they do care about the financial destruction, since people love money. And there's no doubt that the Philippines is not blessed financially by God. You say, what's the answer? The answer is found in verse 16. They that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and the thought upon his name. What's the answer, Brother Sucky? The answer is being in the house of God where those that fear God speak often one to another, and you go soul winning, and you're with other people that love God and fear God, and you're speaking and fellowshipping together, and the answer is in good churches to stand up and preach the truth. The answer's in the house of God. Look, I'm happy with who God elected, but that's not the answer for this country. I'm happy President Marcos got elected. If you're offended by that, then whatever. You're brainwashed by this pro-feminist culture that has existed for a long time. But here's the thing. A president isn't going to fix all the problems in this country. It's not going to happen. The answer's in the house of God. You say, well, man, I want to hope in something. Why not consider Jesus your hope, as the Bible says? Why not consider God your hope? The answer is in the house of God and God's people turning back to God, and the result can be we get more people saved, bring more people to church, and we teach them to do likewise and to know the commandments of God, because people are living in sin in 2023 and they don't even know it. Literally, people can be in church for 20 years and they have no idea of all the sins that they're committing. Man, I had no idea that watching Vice Pongy was wrong. I've never heard that. That's so radical. I mean, man, we need God's help in this country in 2023. The Philippines is destroyed. It is a nation under a curse. And the answer is found in the house of God. And I'll tell you what, we see a rise in non-Catholicism. And you know what? That could be a good thing, but only if these churches are preaching the truth. And unfortunately, it's just not happening. It's not hopeless. But the hope is found in the house of God. Let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be here today and getting to see these verses and all these points. And help us to understand. Help us not to be hard-hearted and get stubborn and be too pro-nationalistic, but realize that this is what the Philippines is like in 2023. There's a lot of problems, and we as a church, we can make a difference by getting people saved and bringing people to church, and that we can personally obey the commandments and teach our kids to also obey the commandments and love you, God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.